don't remember starting any of my message with an infomercial, but I'm going to do that today. I went to see a movie last night called The Sound of Freedom. And The Sound of Freedom is a faith-based movie. They don't get to advertise a whole bunch, so that's why I'm advertising for them. But it's a really good movie. It's well worth the time and money to go to the theater and see it. And I'd like you to support it. It's a great story of a man who goes into the child slavery market and saves children from slavery. The lead actor is the guy who played Jesus Christ in Mel Gibson's Passion, so it's very well done. And anyway, my encouragement is go check it out. I wrote this message for July 30 of 2023, titled it Jesus and Demons, and it comes from Mark 5, 1-10. My outline, demons are dangerous, powerful, and destructive. Number two, what do you want with me? And number three, demons control, Jesus frees. My introduction goes like this. Let's do a quick review of how Mark chapter 4 ended 2 weeks ago. We were one of the many witnesses sitting in boats on a perfectly still water of a Sea of Galilee, flat as a glass. My best adjective to try to describe our situation is awestruck, absolutely awestruck. We had just experienced a storm of hurricane magnitude, and then complete stillness comes with two words, quiet, be still. It's hard to explain this, and it's probably even harder to believe it, but nevertheless, this next sentence is true. God in the form of Jesus Christ has just commanded all creation to obey, and it did immediately. If you put yourself in the real world and think about that, a man standing in the back of a boat told a hurricane to stop, and it did. That's just hard to wrap your head around. But the truth is, it happened, and there were many witnesses to testify to the fact that it happened. I gave you my opinion on why this storm was so unexpected and unpredicted in its unprecedented in its magnitude a couple weeks ago. And it was that the evil we will meet today did not want Christ to come on shore. So that's my explanation. Why was there such a big storm that was beyond what Peter, James, and Andrew had seen ever before on the lake? That's why. It's these demons stirring up things. Mark's gospel often highlights the supernatural struggle between Jesus and Satan. The demon's goal is and was to control humans they inhabit. That's what demons want, is control over a person's life. Jesus's goal is and was to give humans they inhabit freedom from sin and Satan's control. So in a very basic sense, these spiritual influences of evil and good desire to have control of one's life. Demons will lead into destruction. Christ will set one free so that they can honestly make choices like when he created Adam and Eve without the problem of sin and deception entangled in their life. That's the bottom line on what we're looking at here today. I chose the NIV Reader's Version of Mark 5, and I'll read to you 1 to 10. It goes like this. They went across the Sea of Galilee to the area of the Gadarenes. Jesus got out of the boat. A man with an evil spirit from the tombs met him. The man lived in the tombs. No one could keep him tied up anymore. Not even with a chain could hold him. His hands and feet had often been chained, but he tore the chains apart. And he broke the iron cuffs off his ankles. No one was strong enough to control him. Night and day, he screamed among the tombs and in the hills. He cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus a long way off, he ran to him. He fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with me? Promise before God that you won't hurt me." This was because Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked the demon, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied. "There are many of us." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of that area. That's the end of Mark's gospel. So the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee was called the country of the Gadarenes. Mark mentions only one man coming out of the tombs, but if we were back studying Matthew like we did some time ago in chapter 8, verse 28, we would remember that he said there were two of these men. This area called the tombs was a common dwelling place for the demented people of that day. People that weren't tolerated in town, this is where they hung out. There were burial chambers cut out of the rocks and hills and on the outskirts of that town, so one could find shelter in these man-made caves, and that's what they did. So our outline, Jesus and demons, point number one, demons are dangerous, powerful, and destructive. We can read this truth in this scripture. This is still true today. What's happening in this scripture is still true today. Take that one home with you. A on your outline, why does demon possession happen? Good question. Your blank is why. Honestly, we cannot be sure why demon possession happens. I have a couple ideas and I'll share them with you. We don't know that evil spirits can, We do know that evil spirits can use the human body to distort and destroy one's relationship with God and their witness of Him. So we know that's true. Demons want to destroy a person's life, and they want to destroy a believer's witness. Even today, demons are dangerous, powerful, and very destructive. It is important that we watch for and recognize their evil activity. And my observation is that the world we live in is so saturated with evil that it's hard not to be influenced by it. When I checked the movie time to go see Sound of Freedom, the first two movies that popped up, the most popular movies, are two horror movies. And both of them are nasty, and the second one is all about demons possessing someone. And to go watch those things is not a good influence on one's soul. We should avoid any curiosity about or involvement with demonic forces or occult. They're not something to toy with. God warned us about this way back in Deuteronomy 18, 10, and 12. So he told us way back in the beginning, when he's leading the people of Israel, don't be entangled with this. The country that I'm sending you into, people are involved with this, but don't let yourself get tangled up in it. We are commanded to resist the devil and his influences. In fact, in James 4, 7 says, "He will flee from us if you resist." So, believers have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if we resist their influences, they will be buffered off, much like a force field in a Star Trek movie. enemy just can't get to him because there's a protective force around us. The Holy Spirit around us will protect us. But if we choose to open or shut down that shield of protection, they can have a dramatic influence. Why does demon possession happen? That was my question. Here is what I think. I think this happens when one is first of all deceived and then chooses to believe evil lies. I think that's how it happens. They deceive you, they tell you lies, and you believe those lies. And the more you believe those lies, the more presence they have in your life. You see, God created every single human being with the irrevocable law of a free will. God will not violate this, and he will not allow any others to violate one's free will. So in the Garden of Eden, Adam of Eden could have chose relationship. Instead, he chose rebellion. Eve could have chose relationship, but she chose knowledge. God didn't stop them, and he won't. He will let you choose. Satan deceived Eve into thinking she wanted knowledge over relationship. Adam chose to rebel against his creator. These are the two reasons why people are possessed by demons. First of all, they're deceived, and second, they're rebellious. So that's why I think demons inhabit. Let's go to B on our outline. It is important to recognize evil activity, and important is your blank. The spiritual forces of evil are incredibly sneaky and devious. Incredibly sneaky and devious. They've been at this for centuries, and they have honed their craft to a very, very fine edge. Believers must be keenly aware of the spiritual forces around them and their activities. The Holy Spirit wants to help us with this if we will be sensitive and allow him to do that. There's the trick, there's the catch, there's the secret, there's the key. If we will allow him, if we will be sensitive to that still small voice that's in us, while the chaos and noise is going on that the demons try to scare you with, if we will be sensitive and listen to his spirit, he will help us with this. The general tendency of function is for people to get distracted by all the noise and the chaos. See on your outline, warning. Do not be curious about evil. And your blank is warning. Warning. Don't be curious about evil. I do not believe I can overstate the importance of this truth. Don't be curious about it. Don't buy the comics. Don't see the movies. Don't play with it. There are many influences even that are common, open, and accessible to people in our culture. Beware and don't be deceived. They will deceive you if you give them the chance. These images and influence saturate our electric world. Many are so obvious it seems pointless for me to list them, but video games and movies that are just openly demonic are available. Even the children's Saturday morning cartoons today have demons in them. Don't allow that influence to get into your soul, into your mind. Playing with a little evil image, a scary horror movie, any senseless evil violence can lead to great deception and destruction. So the NIV Reader's Version of Mark 5:10. Legion begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of that area. D on your outline. Warning. Demons have areas of operation. Warning. Demons have areas of operation. And your three blanks are warning, areas, operation. What seems to be true in my experience and through the studies that I've done is there are places where God allows evil power to be. We just studied the book of Revelations, and you will remember the great whore of Babylon. There are places on the planet that God lets these demons have base camps, strong places. And there are places like that near where I live in Sterling, Illinois, that are centers of evil spiritual activity. The NIV Reader's Version of Ephesians 6:12 goes like this. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's the end. So the struggle I'm challenging you to get into is not one of physical. It is spiritual. It's not the people that are inhabited by demons. It's the demons themselves. That's where the fight is. Whether we like it or not, believe it or not, there is a great war in progress between forces of good and evil all around us. You don't have to believe me, you don't have to like it, but it is the truth. And take note of this, there are no spectators in this war. There are no spectators. You are either on the side of evil or the side of good in every one of these battles. You can't sit in the bleachers and watch. There is no bleachers. You're either on the evil side or the good side. Think that one through. So point one on our outline, demons are dangerous, powerful, and destructive. Point two, what do you want with me was the question. Have you ever thought about that? What would Jesus want from a demon? This demon is kneeling in front of him, begging him. What did Jesus want? My best guess is that Jesus wants to be worshiped by the evil ones. I think that's what he wants, is for them to turn. I don't know whether he can bring them back into the good side or not, but I'm thinking if they would worship him, he probably would do some good stuff. And he would want a demon to confess that he is the Messiah. He is the savior of all the universe, not just mankind. He's the savior of it all. My best guess is that this hurricane was an extravagant attempt by the evil ones to drown the Messiah and his message. I've told you that, and I think that's true. Jesus was headed for a demon-infested land, and he knew it. I don't think those demons wanted him to set foot on shore, so they thought if they could drown him before he got there, they'd be good. They will be drowned in pigs in a little bit, so technically it's possible. The NIV Reader's Version of Mark chapter 5, verse 7 goes like this. He shouted at the top of his voice, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with me? Promise before me that you won't hurt me. So that's the demon confessing Jesus Christ, the Most High Son of God. Demons know Jesus is God, and they know the end of the story. A on your outline. This scream was an act of fear, defense, and rebellion. The holiness of Jesus Christ caused fear, defense, and rebellion are your three blanks in that demon. People do not like to admit being possessed by a demon. Most people will not tell you that they are, even though they know they are. The NIV Reader's Version of Mark 5, 8, and 9, this was because Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus asked the man, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied. There are many of us, and that's the end of Mark's gospel. When people reject Jesus Christ and his authority, they put themselves on the side of demons and are heading for the same direction they are. So when one rejects Jesus Christ, his gospel, they put themselves in a place where they're going the same direction that the bad guys are going. Every one of us must ask, will I choose autonomy and self-will leading to my destruction, or will I choose Christ-loving leadership over my life? That's it. You are going to be influenced by one of two spiritual influences. Not everyone will be like Legion here and be possessed by demons, but all of us will be entangled with them at times. And if we choose to do that on our own, autonomy, doing it on our own self-will, that'll lead to our destruction. But if we choose to allow Christ-loving leadership over our life, we surrender our life to Him and let Him and His Spirit live through us. Like it says in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. We allow Christ within us to live our life. And practically speaking, in our soul, we watch Him do that. Jesus Christ offers forgiveness, healing from sin, cleansing, and true freedom. Jesus lets us choose. He lets people choose, him or them. Be on our outline. Is our society like this demon scream and your blanket society? It looks to me like that question is true, that our society is like this demon scream. It looks like our society, like this demon, is screaming at God in the church and Christian values, asking, what do you want from me? And get out of my life. That's what I hear the world screaming. You Christians and your values and your rules and your truth, leave me alone. Get out of my life. That's what I hear. See on our outline, my name is Legion, and blank is Legion. A legion at that time was the largest unit of the Roman army. It can consist of 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. In the world today, it's a division. I was a member of the 82nd Airborne Division, and our strength would vary from 3,000 to 6,000 based on people at hand. But a division is a large, formidable force. This man was possessed by many demons. Demons are spiritual beings, therefore they take up zero physical space. Wrap your head around that. They take up zero physical space. I read once that C.S. Lewis wrote, one could put 10,000 demons on the point of a needle, and there'd be room for more. You could put 10,000 demons on the point of the sharpest needle you can imagine, and there's room for more, because they take up no room. They're spiritual. They're not physical. So our outline, Jesus and demons. We looked at demons are dangerous, powerful, and destructive. Then we looked at what you want from me. And last, number three, demons control, Jesus frees. So there is the dramatic contrast. Demons want to control your life, and Jesus wants to free you. Demons knew that they had no power over Jesus. This man is absolutely sure that he has no power over Jesus. They did have a request to stay in that area they had been terrorizing, and they had great power in that area. Jesus will sort of grant their wish. He'll let them go into pigs, and we'll look at that next week, and the pigs run off the hill and they drown, and I really don't have any idea what happens to the demons after all the pigs drown, but there's a whole big bunch of pigs floating in that Sea of Galilee dead. Jesus could have sent them to hell. I mean, he had the power to do that, but that will be saved until the final judgment day. On the final judgment day, these demons all will be sent to their eternal punishment. A on your outline, one may choose to side with good or evil. And your blank is choose. From Adam and Eve until today, God gives people freedom to choose relationship with the three of them. He gives you that choice. You can choose relationship. B on your outline. One's default setting from birth is demons. So your two blanks are default demons. When you're born with a default setting of a dead spirit. When people reject Jesus and his authority and they choose to side with demons, then it gets worse. The fact is that making no decision about Jesus Christ is a decision in favor of evil. Think that through. To not choose one side or another, the default setting is you're choosing evil. That's the way the system is set up. You can choose life and light and good. And if you don't make a choice, the default is you go to the darkness and the evil. See on the outline, one can upgrade their default setting to Jesus by rebirthing. One can upgrade their default setting to Jesus by rebirthing. So upgrade Jesus rebirthing. So last week I read this to you from our Confession of Faith, and I'll read it again to you this week. It's point number 6 on our Confession of Faith. It's titled The Salvation Message. We also believe that what is contained in the Holy Scriptures, the fall of Adam and the redemption through Jesus Christ, shall be preached throughout the world. And that is it. That is the gospel as we understand it. Adam rebelled. Jesus saves. You are either aligned with Adam or Jesus. Those are your two choices. My illustration that I was trying to use and throw a few puns into this was a computer software. Your startup life was Adam-based software. So when you were born, the software that was installed in you was Adam-based, sin-based, self-based. But you can rebirth, restart up with Jesus-based software. So I was trying to use like restart instead of reboot. But you can be reborn and restart with Jesus-based software. And everything will work different in the machine that you are, the computer that you are, if you change the software. How do you change the software? You delete the old and you upload the new. And then you have a restart when it's installed, and that is your rebirth. That is when you're born again. But essentially, that's what we're talking about. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. Software in a computer is a complex series of ones and zeros connected together to organize how the computer thinks. So all the wonderful software we see, all the beautiful pictures and all the images and all the speed is simply a one and a zero. And they string together ones and zeros to write the programs that we see. Simple. And where did they get the idea? Studying the human brain that God made. That's how they came up with the idea for computers. And we have got it so far along now that the artificial intelligence is actually thinking on its own. And it's just about to the point where it's out of our control. That's scary. So it's really simple, ones and zeros. We use that illustration because how we can put together a complex series of truths in our mind is how we function dependent and obedient on God's Holy Spirit. What we do is we put together a complex series of truth in our mind. We reprogram our mind, and then we will function differently with new programming. We will be dependent, obedient, God-loving, Holy Spirit-empowered people. In much the same way, when you push the keys on a computer, you'll get a result, right? Your mind works the same way as the computer keyboard does. When the outside world influences pushes your buttons, your software, your brain will respond based on what it's programmed into it. And I don't think there's anybody out there listening to this who hasn't heard the saying, oh boy, she can push my buttons. Or good heavens, that boss can push my buttons. You've heard it, right? That's exactly what I'm saying, is these outside influences push the buttons that initiate the software installed in our brain that cause us to either function in good or default to evil. I have a scripture that I'd like to read in closing here. It's from the NIV Reader's Version, and it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes to the Romans, "Brothers and sisters, God has shown you his mercy. So I'm asking you to offer your bodies to him while you are still alive. Your bodies, a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When you offer your bodies to God, you are worshiping him. Don't live any longer the way the world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed." Stop reading Romans for a minute. That's what I've been trying to say. Let your weak way of thinking be completely changed. You let it happen. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you. And you will agree that what he wants is right, his plan is good, pleasing and perfect. So here's what I want you to do, Paul writes, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. This is the Message translation. I should have said that first. The Message translation of Romans 12, 1 and 2 reads like this. Sorry, I missed that line. It goes, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. Develop well-formed maturity in you. That's the end of Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Message, and I closed it with a new beginning. So here's my conclusion. Every person must choose to either stand alone by themselves as they live their life. This will lead to their destruction. If you out there on your own, it will lead to destruction. One may choose to give Christ-loving leadership over their life. Christ gives them forgiveness, healing from sin, cleansing, and true freedom. This choice of one's free will has eternal implications. What I am trying to communicate is to take a fraction of a second and think about this demonic influence. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so humbled before you that you would give us the opportunity to read these truths of what your son did and what your servant Paul wrote. Just pray that all of us, including me, would take it to heart and work at reprogramming, debugging the software that we have in our minds. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.